الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وعاشروهن بالمعروف. وقال تعالى: ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن أعظم النكاح بركة، أيسره مؤونة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Alhamdulillah, solely and only by the great fadl, karam, ihsan of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has gathered us here for many, many important, great, dramatic purposes and intentions. One of the greatest is that how we can become the obedient servants of our Creator, our Master, He who has created us, He who has given us everything. Whatever we have is only from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Our mere existence at this moment, the air we are breathing in, is only from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. The ground that we are sitting on, and this ground is firm on its place, this is only a ni'mat from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. How Allah ta'ala created us, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. How Allah has created us in the wombs of our mothers, from stage to stage. And at the very beginning, just some blood, and then just a piece of meat, and then some bones, and then the body was made, and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put the ruh in that body. And then that body started functioning after about 4 months or so in the womb of the mother. Who did all this? None other but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the ruh is directly from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala put that ruh into that body. And then we came out into this world. At the time of birth, it's really like a matter of between life and death. Who is it that brings the child safely into this world and goes to the mother, what she goes through? All that is only by Allah Ta'ala. So when we are in this world, all the time also, it is nobody else who protects us, nobody who feeds us, nobody who sees to anything. In actual fact, behind all, this is just in front of the parda. Behind it all is none other than Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. When the child is at the age of about 2, which we call the terrible 2, what actions and what things don't the child get up to? Who protects the child? Many times we say, Allah save my child. Allah save the eyes. The child just got hurt little bit near the eyes. What if the eye should have got damaged? It's none other. Right through, it is only Allah Ta'ala. From there onwards also, it is only Allah Ta'ala and our whole life. And may Allah grant us all maut on Iman. Maut in the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That also is not in our hands. That also is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Further, we carry on with our journey in the qabr. That is also only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. What our lives will be in the qabr. And then the great day of Qiyamah. Yawmul Mahshar, Yawmul Qiyamah. On that day also, we know totally nothing is in our hands, only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. And then the final decision between Jannah and Jahannam. Also how we lived our lives, and that is also only by the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala give us this realization, what we have been listening to all these few days, all the time from the ulama, jamaats that are going out, jamaats that are making gasht, mi'lan, all this is the same thing, that how we can prepare for this long and arduous journey. So we are gathered for that very great and great purpose. The very purpose for which Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has created us, Allah has brought us together here. And Alhamdulillah, all the bayanat which are taking place, All the arrangements which are made is only for that purpose. So our now is to do what we are required to do, to respond to the call of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and to live our lives according to the commandments of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Then at this specific occasion, now after Asr, on this day usually, we have the nikah bayan, the nikahs that are going to take place. And that is also that we, how to connect with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Yeah, there is going to be a connection between one man and one woman, which will become husband and wife now. So that is for that, today we go to so many lands. And what arrangements don't we do for the nikah, for the weddings that take place? Ya Alhamdulillah, by the barakat of the ijtima, how many nikahs take place and according to sunnah. But we should also maintain that after the nikah is performed here, whatever function we have, we should keep in mind also the laws of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So where we are gathered for this ijtima, and that is to correct our lives and to make a connection with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and to have Allah Ta'ala in front of us all the time. And we observe the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and the ideal model which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has sent for us, Hazrat Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His perfect lifestyle, we should try and keep all the time in front of us and follow that way. For that, tashkeel is being made, jamaats are being sent out, jamaats are working, ijtimaat are taking place everywhere for that one purpose. So now when we are gathered for this nikah, so there are quite a few things which lead up to a nikah. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, which is very important for us to remember too, was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a father, without a mother. Then before that there were no human beings. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam is the father of all human beings. Before that there were no human beings. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. At one time, man was not anything whatsoever. There was no man. There was no discussion about him. It is Allah Ta'ala who created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And then from the left rib of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah created Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam. And she also was created without a mother and father. This is the qudrat of Allah. One is the sunnat of Allah, the normal way that Allah Ta'ala does things. We are all born from our parents, mother and father. But Allah has got the qudrat that without that also, when Allah wishes, He can do that. That without a mother and a father, Allah can also create. As Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born miraculously without a father. Only the means of a mother, and that aqidah and that belief we must entrench very, very strongly in our hearts. Firstly, because there are a lot of challenges which are facing us in the world today. Whether it is we ourselves, our children at schools and at varsity, whether it is the media today, the electronic media, etc. But there are many things that are challenging us on these basic aqidahs. That man was something else before, he was a monkey. And then he became a human being. Clearly Allah Ta'ala says that Allah is the creator of insan, of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And we must have this belief and very strong in our hearts that Allah is our creator. And there is no evolution of man from a monkey and then he became a human being. No, not at all. So, and also Isa alayhi salatu wassalam was born miraculously. And that all shows the great qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us full yaqeen on that qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And may Allah give us tawfiq also that after knowing the commands and believing in Allah to submit and do what we have to do where we are required to fulfill the commandments of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So anyway, Adam alayhi salatu wassalam came, and we, many of us, we are fathers, many of us are youngsters, Many of us are old men, different. But when we came in this world, Allah has set commandments for us whereby we must live. And this whole effort is how those commandments, our success and the success of the entire mankind lies in deen, in fulfilling the commandments of Allah Ta'ala according to the pattern of life shown to us by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that has to come into us and we have to submit to that. Not only believe, but to submit that demands which come as they come, to fulfill those demands. So from that is that we learn to live a righteous and correct life according to the commands of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So when we are, as we are growing up in life, from childhood we grow up. I just want to discuss the whole circle that we as parents, we get our children, we have children, then we grow them up, then they get married, they come to that stage where they get their children again married. So this whole circle carries on. So we have to bring all this, we have to make an effort that within us, the commandments of Allah Ta'ala are prevalent all the time. And for that, knowledge is of absolute necessity. Allah greatly reward Mawlana Ibrahim Deola Sahib, how he explained that knowledge of deen, how Allah wants us to live, that is farz-e-ayn. It is farz on every individual. We can learn everything else about how to earn, how to do business, how to do agriculture, all that. We have to learn all that and do all those things. But we also have to learn in every field what are the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. And how must I live my life in commitment to the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So we have to learn this. We go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Practically we learn a life like that. And from the ulama we should also ask questions and ask them whatever we have to do, how to do this, how to do it correctly. So all those commands of Allah we have to bring into our lives. Then we come to the stage where we are going to get married. And that is a stage now where we are presently in, where there are quite a few brothers who are going to be, whose nikah is going to be made. So one very important basic point that we should keep in mind, that nikah in Islam is not just like a wedding like with other people, but it is an ibadat. It is the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Nikah is referred to as half of our iman. And the balance of the half, we should have taqwa, fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So when this iman, when this nikah is half of iman, it shows how important nikah is. And at this time in the world, it is very, very important for us to promote nikah, to maintain nikah, because the concept which is spreading in the world is that you just live with who you want to, for as long as you want to, how you want to. And they want to relegate, they want to bring nikah as though there is no commitment. Hey, the Quran Sharif clearly says that marriage is not a matter of fulfilling one's desires and lust only. It is not for that, but it is to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Many a time when a person wants to make a second nikah, he says, because my lust and desires are too much, so I have to make a second nikah. Nikah is not for that purpose. Nikah is the purpose of nikah is as an ibadat to fulfill the commandments of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we have to keep that in mind all the time, that how we can fulfill the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. So when we come to the stage, one important stage here is to choose a partner. Now we are not left free in that also, what partner we choose. Clearly it comes in the hadith. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was blessed with what great knowledge, he says clearly as a fact and as a reality, he makes a statement, tunkahul mar'atu li arba'in. A woman is normally married for one of four reasons. That is why a person gets married. Limaliha, he gets married because she is a wealthy woman. And ulama have written that is the way of the Jewish people. So if we look at wealth and family, wealthy woman, and we get married, then that effects will come into our life. وَلِجَمَالِهَا, because of her beauty. And unfortunately today, almost everyone only looks for beauty. When we want to get married, that is all we look for, is beauty. And that is also not our way. That is also the way of other people. وَلِحَسَبِهَا, and because of her family lineage, what's the social status she holds, because of that, that is also not our way. Our way is لِدِينِهَا, that we should look at deen. And a very important point here, ulama have mentioned, is it is not stated لِعِلْمِهَا, because of her knowledge, knowledge of deen. No, today commonly whenever we want to get married, then we see, we look for an alim. And an alim looks for an alima. But what actually is for deen to be in the person? It does not mean that if we have the knowledge of deen, then necessarily we have got deen also. For that is a separate effort. So we have to see a person who has got deen in that person. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was making gusht at night, he overheard the conversation of a mother and daughter who were, it was a dairy, they were selling milk. And the mother was saying, add some water to the milk, we will sell more, we will make more profits. The daughter said, but Amirul Mu'mineen has prohibited this, we cannot do it. She said, Amirul Mu'mineen is not here to watch now. She said, but Allah is watching. May Allah give us that type of iman and that type of sifat of ihsan. This comes into our lives. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu marked that house. So made further inquiries and he proposed for that girl for his son. And they got married, and what barakat Allah ta'ala gave. So deen is the important thing. Sa'id ibn Musayyib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a tabi, he also says that one of his students who did not attend classes, so he asked him what happened. So he says, my wife passed away, so I was busy with the janaza, etc. So he said, why don't you get married again? He said, who will get married to a person like me, penniless, nothing I've got? He said, if I arrange it, he said, by all means. And he made the nikah khutbah, and he performed nikah to his own daughter. And then he, at night he went and he left his daughter by him. And there is details, but where you see this deen, he saw the student, what amount of deen. So that is important, what we should look for. When we get married, really Allah Ta'ala make it come into us that we don't look at what kind, the beauty, etc. We don't look at money, etc. We don't look at social structures, but we look at deen. And deen must be also, one good friend of ours told me once, make dua that Allah makes me pious. So I asked him, what do you mean, that dua we all made for all of us? He said, I want a pious wife. And Allah Ta'ala, he said, At-tayyibatu li-tayyibin. If I am pious, my wife will be pious. So today we are always worried that I must get a good wife. She must be a pious wife. But we don't really worry whether I am pious or not. If we become pious, Allah will give us a pious partner also. So that is very, very important. We become concerned to make ourselves righteous. And then also, who will be interested in us? If we are on deen, a deendar girl will be interested in us. But if we haven't got deen, then the girl also, we will look for another type of girl, a modern type of girl. So that is very important that we make the basis deen. And then after that, the nikah itself, inna a'zama an-nikah baraka, the nikah that has got the most barakat is aysaruhu ma'una, in which there is the least effort, the least money that is spent. And we see in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, one nikah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made on a safar. And the walima was made on a safar. Whatever the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had, they were told, bring your things, and they shared it as walima. And that was end. Today, with all our different things, some nikah, some marriages which take place in one country, over 3 days, the function took place. And at the end of 3 days, all were in a doubt whether the nikah actually took place. Nobody could remember that the nikah took place. All the other things took place, but they can't remember whether a nikah took place. Then they have to repeat, they have to have that nikah again. In one place also, they had a nikah and they hired a helicopter where the bride, bridegroom, both parents, and the qadi, the person who was going to make the nikah, they're going to make the nikah up in the air in the helicopter. Before the helicopter came down, the nikah was broken already. And today we find this is happening very, very commonly. We might laugh, but we know the amount of divorces which are now in Muslims. It wasn't long ago where we could say proudly in the sense that making shukr to Allah, that in Muslims you hardly hear a case of divorce. But unfortunately today it's a different story completely because our line that we are following, as was discussed over the bayans, there are two lines. One is the line of Sayyiduna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other line is all the other lines, whoever it is, whichever other line. So we should see that on the occasion of nikah, that we maintain the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, those people who we regard, Allah alone knows, Allah alone is the judge. But those that we regard as a bit far from deen, we say they make their nikahs, their weddings totally against deen. But how many of us who regard ourselves as dindar, as pious, in the homes of the ulama, but yeah, we become soft. And we allow many things, and lot of israf takes place. In our nikahs, the israf, today in the name of walima, which is a sunnah, which is a very great thing, but then also how many wrong things takes place. The videoing that takes place, photography that takes place, the intermingling of the sexes that take place. We say it will be separate facilities, but lot of times we know that it is just a word we say that there is going to be separation. But we know how much of intermingling takes place and how many other wrong things and the wastage of food, etc. And today is a time when normally we hand everything over to caterers. And then today the woman might not have a niqab, a parda, but the parda is put on the chair. The chair is covered also. Everything else is covered. But the way it is supposed to be, as Judge Akbar Allahabadi was asked, that what has happened, he asked the woman, what happened to your parda, your niqab, which you used to wear? So the woman said, it has fallen on the akal, on the brains of our men, that they don't want us to wear any more niqab in that. So all these things we should see. So after the nikah, then usually many times we have a honeymoon. We call it something else, we just went out for a few days. Or we just went and spent a few days. But that also is not the tariqah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these things. Then, it's a long story, but to cut it short, when the child is going to be born now, before that, the food that we eat is very, very important. The food that we eat, that becomes the blood in the body. This blood becomes semen. And from which drop of semen that child is going to be born. If it was from haram food, then that is what is going to go in the mother. And that child will be born of that. We complain later that the child is like this and the children of today don't hear. The problem is not with the children of today. The problem is with the parents of today. And then what do we feed again the child? He was born, but if he was born with water that comes from Makkah Sharif, Zamzam, the child will be a Makki. And if he was born with khajur, dates that came from Madinatul Munawwara, the child will be a Madani. He'll have that kind of akhlaq. And if the child was born from junk food, then the child will be a junkie. And then we will complain that now this child, how is his behavior, etc. But we were the cause of it. We ate junk food, and now the child is a junkie. So who's the cause of the problem? So it is very, very important that we see this. And then what we feed the children again today. Today we know eating out is a common thing, and the amount of wastage again in eating out, etc. And then the food that is being supplied there, what type of food is being supplied? Besides, from a deeni point of view also, what from a health point of view also, that food, what kind of food it is, we are eating all that. And then comes the ta'aleem of the child. That what type of education are we giving the child? Many places we are hearing the children are totally deprived of deeni ta'aleem. They are going to such schools and they have got such extra curriculum and extra activities that they have to see to, that there is no question of going to madrasa. If they go, a few who go perhaps once a week or so, so that basic elementary maktab ta'aleem is extremely important. If they don't become alims, that is, if they become mashallah, alhamdulillah, but if not, at least the basic ta'aleem, that is a thing which is also being corroded and which is being eroded and taken out of our lives. That is also very, very important. Lucky are those who go in the jamaat, or they go and have a contact with some pious person and they learn deen from that person seriously and properly, and they make contact with the right people. So that is also the upbringing of the children. Then it brings us back to the stage now where that child also has to get married. And that child now, if he was brought up in the right way and the correct education, the correct tarbiyah, he was nurtured, he was cultured according to deen, and he saw to his dunya's necessities also, there is no harm in that. That is also farz, ba'd al-fara'id. After seeing to our other fara'id, that is also a necessity to see to our income of our dunya and to earn also. So this whole system, we have to become conscious of it, for that ilm is very, very important. And as Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sahib, Damat Barakatum, explained, that is a great, great farz to acquire this knowledge and to know what the rights of the wife are. Today, commonly we have a complaint, the wife is not fulfilling the rights of the husband. Wife says that the husband is not fulfilling my rights. Husband says that my wife, wife is not fulfilling my rights. But on the day of Qiyamah, nobody will be asked, did your husband fulfill your rights? Did your wife fulfill your rights? We will be asked whether we fulfill the rights of the wife, whether we fulfill the rights of the husband. So that is very, very important. And do we know the rights of the wife? Do we know the rights of the husband? How is our earning? We say, I'm fulfilling the rights of my wife, but perhaps we are doing it in a haram way. So there's a whole circle, every aspect of it which we are listening to continuously. May Allah Ta'ala make us conscious of this very important aspect of our deen, and let that also come into our lives, and we fulfill the commandments of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in every sphere of our life. May Allah be kind and merciful to us, open our hearts for deen, and let us learn deen, practice deen, propagate deen, and teach deen to others also. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.